one who saves. You are the one who saves. You are the one who saves. Lifts us from the grave. You are the light of life. The everlasting day. You are the one who takes all our sins away.
Please grab your bulletins and join me in our call to worship this morning. We hear these words from Isaiah chapter 60 during this Advent season. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples.
Glory will appear over you.
And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Come and be
Will you pray with me, please? Oh, Jesus, as we think of that first Noel, as we think of the Noel, the Christmas that we will celebrate in a week from today, we are reminded of how your light shines into our darkness and that promise of hope that you have for each one of us. For that, we are grateful and we are thankful this morning. Oh God, and may we live in that light. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is the light that has promised to shine into our darkness, and to give us hope and light to the world that surrounds us. This is the God who breaks into our lives and says, "My grace and my peace be with you." May we know this grace and peace for us today, and may we be reminded to share it with each other. Please take a moment and do that now.
For the reading of the lighting of the Advent wreath. Once God's plan was a mystery, hidden from our sight. Now God has brought it out in the light. In the brighter light on this fourth Sunday in Advent, may we see more clearly the glory of God in Christ.
With my mouth, I will proclaim the faithfulness to all generations. I declare that steadfast love is established forever.
Light four candles, see them glow brightly, so that all may know how four candles show the way, making darkness bright as God's day.
And you two girls can probably stay up here, and we'll invite all the rest of the children to come forward now for our children's message.
Come closer. You're so far away. Come on. Good morning, boys and girls. How many of you woke up this morning and counted the days till Christmas?
I know we did. How many of you have been using an advent calendar or an advent chain to count down the days? It's so exciting. Awesome. We at our house, every day we're counting how many days until Christmas. Raise your hand if you're pretty excited. Raise two hands if you're really excited. Yes, we are. And we come to church and we talk about Christmas a lot, but it's hard to not think about what's going to be under that tree on Christmas morning, isn't it? There are some super presents. You do. You know what? Have you made a list for Santa Claus? JD, what are you hoping Santa might bring you this year? A toy or clothes? Toy. Too many clothes. How about you, Kenz? Are you waiting for something for Christmas? What are you waiting for? Ninjago, like that's a Lego set, right? That is great. I know we are super waiting at our house, and we can't wait for those presents. So Chase, are you waiting for something? What are you? Zombie lab? That's what you're waiting for? Anthony, how about you?
I'm waiting for a remote control helicopter and a Nerf Vortex Nitron.
Oh, those are exciting. So you see what I brought here? I have a present. Would you believe me if I told you this is the best present anyone in the whole world could get?
No.
Do you think Lego Ninjago fits in here?
No.
How about a Barbie Dream House?
No.
American Girl doll?
No.
I bet I could get an iPod Touch in here.
Yes.
That would be pretty good. I don't think my new sofa is going to fit in here that I'm hoping Santa will bring me. But this here is the best present you could ever get for Christmas or any day. Oh, you do, Alexia? Come here. Come over here and see if you know. Open the box and see if you know what's in there. Of baby Jesus for?
Everyone.
Everyone? Is it for you, Sophia? Is it for you? It's for everyone, but does that include you? Yes, that is the baby Jesus, and this is the gift that God gave us on the first Christmas and every day since. And you can carry, this is my Jesus that I put on the piano, but you can carry this Jesus in your heart. And this very special gift is yours forever and ever. And it's God's way of telling you he loves you every day when you're a good girl and a bad boy and a good boy and a bad girl. And he is waiting for you in heaven. It's his promise that you can come be with him someday. Can we thank God for that promise? Okay, let's do that. Let's fold our hands. Let's say, dear God, thank you for your special Christmas gift in Jesus. Help us to remember that that's our very best gift every day. And help us to share that gift with all our friends and our families, because we'll remember on Christmas that that's your true gift to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
couple of things. If you're a visitor among us, it's no accident you're here. It's God's incident that brought you here. And if you'll take a look at our connection card, there is on the side with the logo, there's a chance for any visitors to fill out their information and then bring it to the fellowship hall, the first door on the left, and you can get a Christmas CD of the concert that we had the other night. If you're a member here, if there's any changes, please write your name down at least, but if there's any other changes, let us know. And on the reverse side, in the upper right-hand corner, you have opportunity to ask for info about certain things. The bottom part, you can sign up for different things that are happening in the church. And in the upper left-hand corner, which I'll refer to later, you have an opportunity to make a spiritual commitment today. And then, just a few other announcements. Anna's going to make one, so Anna, you can come up and get ready for yours. And then if the rest of you would turn with me to page 5, just notice on the bottom that you'll want to use that mic. Oh, you got one. You got one. Good. You're all set. Fellowship host for coffee hour. I needed a new year. Please note that. And then on page 6, if you'll notice also under women's ministries, your last opportunity to give a Christmas decoration, which you'll see from Christmas Eve and next Sunday, decorating this chancel area. Last chance to give a gift in memory of somebody. And you have something special to tell us. Welcome back from Lithuania.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you here. We're excited about your ministry studies and what we're going to learn about them. And tell us about Christmas.
Labas rytas, mano brodas, yra Anna, aš studijuoju LCC Universitetą, Klaipėdoje, Lithuania. Good morning. My name is Anna Schwarz. For the past 4 months, I've studied at LCC University in Klaipėda, Lithuania. And I'm just so excited to be here. I have an amazing opportunity next week, and I want to invite you. I'm going to be preaching at the Christmas service. There is a service on Christmas morning, so you all should come. It's at 9:30 in the morning. It's going to be awesome. It's just going to be really comfortable, really relaxed, and I would really love to see you all here. I know that for little kids, it's tough to get up and out on Christmas, so you're more than welcome. I want to invite everybody in their PJs and the new clothes that Santa brought them. Just come how you're comfortable. Come and celebrate Jesus' birthday with me, and I would love that. 9:30 next Sunday, I would love to see you here. At you. Thank you.
And I think you're going to tell us something about what God taught you in Lithuania, no?
I didn't know that was a part. I could do that.
That's what I thought
God
we were going
to
do.
God was excellent to me this trip, and I would never have...
No, but I mean next Sunday.
Next Sunday, yes. Next that's Sunday. What... I'm like totally lost.
You're on jet lag. Yeah,
I
understand.
On jet lag. Yes, I will be talking about everything next week, and I'd love to tell you about it.
So. There you go. Good, so come and learn.
Yeah.
And Craig Kasuchi has come back from Iraq, and Craig served there and had some interesting experiences. Tell us about one of the most harrowing experiences and how God sustained you
Absolutely. In
your time in Iraq.
But first, I'm standing here before you by the grace of God, and I'm really blessed that he's blessed me with a wonderful family, an awesome wife, Robin, and a great congregation to come home to. One of the foundations of my faith growing up in high school, dealing, struggling with athletics was, stress and angst in life really gets in the way. And, as a young teenager getting older, one day my mom told me, she says, Craig, give it up to God. And then your mom tells a 13-year-old, how do you give it up to God? What does that mean, Mom? And she gave me a scripture which has been a foundation of my life. And that's Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. And one of the lines in there that says, those who put their trust in the Lord will find their strength renewed. They will rise up and soar like wings on eagles. For me, it's helicopters. They will run, not walk. They will never grow tired or weary. No one understands God's thoughts. So that hit me and stayed with me my whole entire life as a foundation. So there I am. Life hits me. I'm in Iraq. And one of the most, and people ask me, Craig, how did you get through it? The heat, the dust, how did you get through it? And I simply tell them, I trust in God. And particularly one day, May 4th, our base got attacked by 51 mortars from two different locations. Now, being in a war, you see on TV, if I could see the guy shooting at me, I could take cover, and I know he's not going to hit me if I'm behind cover. But when there's indirect fire, artillery rounds coming at you from different locations, you have no idea, as fast as you slap your fingers, you could be taken to go see God before you want to. So, Craig, how'd you get through that? And for me, it was trust. Trust in God. Give it up to God. By the physical, I would say, well, it's not about me. It's up to God. I give him whatever he wants. I submit to him. We talked in our Bible study about submitting to Christ. Because I can't control what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen going home today. If God wants me, he's going to take me. By doing that, that gave me the freedom to live. Even though I'm in Iraq, to be able to look forward to getting home and talk to my lovely wife via Skype or calling her on a magic jack to know that I made it through. And I could talk to anybody. He was the first, only person I talked to after it happened. And I didn't say anything to Rob until I came home. So I wanted to give you that message. No matter where you are in life, life is going to hit you, the stress, whether you're out of work, whether things aren't going great at home, whether it's too cold for you, too hot, whatever is keeping you from enjoying your life, give it up to God. Have integrity with your faith, and I mean by integrity, you have to be willing to do that. If you're not willing, some people turn the other way when they go home and they look in the mirror. The person staring at you is not going to lie. But if you put your faith in God, you will rise up and you will soar in whatever area of life you want to do because it's about praising him. So I just want to share that message with you this morning. And I could talk more about it. I only have a few minutes. I actually planned a whole sermon about this. I could give you several anecdotes throughout my whole time how this came out, but that's for another time and another life maybe. So thank you.
Well, we'll look forward to that sermon someday. Craig, where does this need to go? Who needs to get that?
Did I go? Sorry to go over.
Was that? I missed that.
I'm sorry to go over my time.
Oh, I don't think you went over your time at all. I wasn't watching. Was I standing here doing this? For? Yeah, they know I'm tough on them. Well, thank you for that testimony, and we can have peace in our circumstances if you can have peace in those mortar fire. And let's open our hearts to God to have that peace right now where we're at. Jesus, we come from many different places. Some of us have lived several months overseas and just came home yesterday, like Anna. Others of us have lived overseas and have been protecting our country and our freedoms and even had their lives in peril, like Craig. And others of us have just been trying to get through the sidewalks of New York City to shop yesterday or the day or weeks before, or just trying to negotiate Bridgewater Mall and find a parking place, or just try to figure out how we can have mother over, and we know the problems she'll cause at the Christmas reunion. God, you know where we each are, and you know what our struggles are. You know whether they're puny or whether they're large or huge. In any matter, they're large to us. And so we give them to you now and ask you to speak to us in the reading and the preaching of your word for your honor and glory and all God's people said.
From Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 602 in your pew Bibles. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of your Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these that fly like a cloud, and like doves to their windows? For the coastland shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from far away, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you, for in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall always be open, day and night they shall not be shut, so that nations shall bring you their wealth, with their kings led in procession. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Some will say, and I have often thought, that we are involved in a culture war, right? And we talk about it specifically this season as the war on Christmas. You know how it is, right? You have to say happy holidays. You can't say Merry Christmas. You may want, like I've often thought, to have a nice Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and even a menorah on the township green, but we're not allowed. You hear way too many jingle bells and not enough "Oh, come all you faithfuls" in the mall as you shop. Is there a war on Christmas? Well, I've often approached it that way. Until recently, I've been thinking about some of my secular friends and what they say to me. And basically, what they say is, "Todd, look, the church has had its day in the sun. We're not a WASP country anymore. My neighbor's Hindu. My kid plays with a Muslim. I don't know what I believe. And you want to force me to listen to Silent Night at Walmart?" I say to myself, you mean what sometimes looks like a war on Christmas to me is an issue of respect to you? But how does the church react to this war on Christmas? Well, we react often aggressively. We'll say nothing but Merry Christmas. We will not shop in any stores unless they play enough religious tunes. Of course, around here, then you can't shop much, which is probably a good thing. We'll start signing a petition to get a creche at the Bridgewater Township Green and make sure it faces the high school. And yes, if we're gracious, we'll include a menorah. The question this morning that I want to bring before you is there a, what would Jesus say about a war on Christmas? Or to make it more generic, how would Jesus have the church address culture? I had a guest sitting next to me a couple weeks ago at Rotary, and she had an uncharacteristic reaction when she found out what I do. You know, when people find out that I'm a pastor, usually they sit up straighter. They might even wince a little bit, you know. Well, this young woman broke out into the broadest smile. It took me aback. I thought, "Well, excuse me?" And she says, "Well, you know, you see, I'm part of a launch team to the preeminent young adult church in our area, Liquid." And she said, "We're launching our third campus in Nutley." I said, "Well, how's it going?" I said, "You know, we've been part of funding church plants for 10 years now. You know, various degrees of success, tried to start our own church, didn't work out as well as we had hoped, da-da-da-da-da." She says, "Yeah, you know what?" She says, we're facing more resistance in Nutley than in any of our other two church plants." She says, "But," she says, "that'll all change." I said, "It will?" "Oh, yeah." She said, "It'll all change once we start serving the community." And visions of young adults tutoring at-risk kids at the public school started dancing through my head. And I submit to you that Isaiah, when he paints this poetic picture of God, it's not a God who's antagonistic to culture. It's a God who wants to transform culture. Matter of fact, Isaiah, thinking back to his Hebrew Testament background, the very beginning of the biblical story in Genesis, would say that God is the culture builder. That God, when God created you and I, God gave us what some call a cultural mandate to have dominion over the earth, to steward the earth, to develop culture in a beautiful and wonderful way. God is pro-culture, not antagonistic. And Isaiah paints that picture in such beautiful ways, ways that God's people are about serving the culture, not fighting the culture. Look at it with me. Matter of fact, before I even start with the slides, let me just add one other thing. And Isaiah goes beyond that. Isaiah paints a picture here of heaven on earth. You know how when Jesus comes again, and that picture is of a flourishing culture. So the secularists might say, well, you know, when time's done here, Christopher Hitchens would say, well, this is going to end up being a cold, hard rock. That's one view. Or movie 2012 would say that the world's going to end with a huge explosion and earthquakes and fires and water. All of it. That's another way to look at it. Isaiah sees it. When Jesus comes again, culture will flourish like it was always supposed to, and it never has before. Look at the people and the things that Isaiah sees in this heaven on earth. First, there's politics in heaven. Can you imagine? We're in the middle of silly season, campaign season, right? Isaiah sees politics, noble profession, when he says, nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This is a vision of heaven. And then Isaiah goes on from politics to see business in heaven. That the prosperity that's God's will be there for all. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels. They were the truck moving lines, of the day, right? A multitude of camels shall cover you, cover your land, it says. They shall bring gold and frankincense, you think of the wise men, and proclaim the praise of the Lord. There's politics, there's business in heaven. In this thriving, flourishing technology. We were looking yesterday at the iPhone 4S, I think we were looking at, and I'm not sure, I'm not too technological literate, so I got to have my kids get it first and then teach me how to do it. But technology, the ships of Tarshish were the most advanced ships of the day, and Isaiah sees in the heaven on earth with a flourishing culture that the coastlands shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from far away will be brought home like Craig and Anna have been brought home. And then this picture is of religion. There'll be religion when Jesus comes again, but healthy, always healthy this time. Not some of the bad stuff that gets mixed in too often now. To bring their silver and gold with them for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel. These offerings will be made of the wealth of the nations. And then it says security will be in this heaven on earth. Craig's work will be consummated in heaven. The troops' work will be consummated there. Your gates shall always be open. No need for locks anymore. Day and night they shall not be shut, is the picture. Wow. That is a beautiful picture. Heaven in the Bible is never about harps and clouds and nothing that you would relate to in this life. It's always about a fulfilled world like we experience now, only better and perfected. It's of a flourishing culture. So, if we agree with the proponents of the culture war that God cares about culture, so much so that God wants us to participate in Jesus' transformation of it that will last into eternity, then how does Jesus want the church to engage the culture? I would say the picture of Isaiah is simply that you and I are called to serve the culture. Too often the church, when we've gotten high and mighty, and we've been high and mighty for several centuries now, but when we've been high and mighty, our response to the culture was to wag our fingers. You should, you're wrong, this is the way. And that wagging finger is not what's going to win our culture back. That wagging finger, we need to stop it. And we need to take the towel and the wash basin of the great foot washer and begin to serve again. That will all begin to change in Nutley when we start serving the community. Wow! That's what it's about. That's what our calling is. And so in the vision of this church, if you think of the hand vision, if you came through that way, you saw it, you'll see it at the end. You saw the banner. You'll see it at the end when we do the benediction. Our hand vision is the church needs to stop wagging its finger and start doing what we say this finger means in our hand vision, and that is to serve, the purpose of life, to serve God and to serve others. How do you do that? How does the church serve the culture? Well, simply, you live out your calling. You know, the only called people here are not Mark and Todd and Anna and Dave and whoever is studying for ministry. That's everybody who's been baptized into Jesus Christ has a calling in your life. Now, your calling may be as a plumber. Do it to the best of your ability. Your calling may be as a mother. Your calling may be as a lawyer. Your calling may be as a teacher. And we all have multiple callings, right? I have a calling in marriage. I have a calling in family. I have a calling in my ministry. I have a calling in many ways. But live out your calling. The calling you were given, you were called generally in baptism, but it's become more specific. I was having dinner a couple Friday nights ago with a couple of gay teacher friends of Knoxville from Princeton High School, or one of them from Princeton High School. And we've been friends for a while, and you can imagine that, you know, they being gay and I being a pastor, and when they found out that Natsuko's husband was a pastor, that they were a little nervous about us going out to lunch and being friends, because, you know, I represent condemnation, right, to them. And so we've gotten to know each other, and we've gotten to be good friends and talk about anything. And we were talking about education reform, two teachers, right? And one, Kathy, was talking about an elementary gym teacher colleague of hers who does the least amount possible. She says, typically, he'll be sitting at his desk in the gym office, leaning back, and one of us will get frustrated and say, hey, didn't you get the email that, oh, there was an email? She says, meanwhile, she says, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, you know, trying to prepare the best lessons for these kids, trying to make sure this first grader who has an awful home life can relate to some of the other kids because she's having such a rough time, and he's doing nothing. And I looked at her and I said, you know, in my language, it sounds like he looks at teaching as a job and you look at it as a calling. And she says, yeah. I doubt if anyone had ever put her life into Christian perspective recently since she came out of the closet. But she has a calling. So live out your calling. You know what it is if you pray and think about it. Those things that are most important for you to be and to do. I mean, if you're in the beer-making business, also try to prevent alcoholism. If you teach sex education, also try to lift up the example of marriage to be healthy. If you're a plumber, make sure my pipes are fixed because, you know, I can't do it. If you create computer code, try to make it that it's helpful to all, not just a few. Especially, again, the technologically illiterate. If you're a flower arranger, give us a scent of the Garden of Eden now and then. If you're a parent, love Johnny and teach Johnny to clean his room. It'll be important one day when he's out on his own. Live out your calling. And as you and I live out our calling, we will serve culture. And it's going to be all right. Because they're going to see more and more in our lives what this Christmas story is all about. Matter of fact, if the more I think about it, I don't think Isaiah would describe our historical moment here in America as a culture war. I don't think he'd talk even about a war on Christmas, though I have very often done that. I think that Isaiah would look at it and say, no. You're looking at it only from your own perspective. There is a cultural longing to see a group of people like we have gathered here this morning who believe so deeply in the Christmas story that God became flesh, that they're going to live it out fully in their calling and serve the world. And that's what changed the world the first time around. And that's what we'll do it again this Christmas season. Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful country we live in. And while we may not all enter into this next Thanksgiving, I guess I thank you that the world is not, our country is not as supportive as our belief system as it used to be, because it makes me, and I think makes us, have to figure out how do we relate again? How do we repair this relationship? How do we bring people, help people see, maybe even more than worry about bring people, help people see that who you are and how wonderful you are. And thank you for the opportunity we have in the services this week coming, Christmas Eve, those friends and relatives that we can bring there when there's a real opening yet to hear your gospel, and Christmas Day when we can worship you here as well. Oh God, we commit those to you and ask you to help us to love and to serve in those services not only, but in the people we bring and how we love and how we talk to them about them this week. And in all the ways that we live out our callings, may you use us, may you bless us, and may we be a blessing for this community. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Please stand and confess your faith with me. Taken from the newest Reformed Church Confession of Faith, our Song of Hope, stanza 8. Read with me. God's Spirit speaks in the world according to God's ultimate word in Christ, in every time and place, in ancient cities and distant lands, in technology and business, in art and education. God has not been left without a witness. The word has entered where we have failed to go. Trusting in God's transforming work, let's all say together, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Please give of your tithes and offerings. Please fill out your connection card. At least give us your name. If you're a visitor, again, remember to fill out fuller information and present it. The first door on the left for your gift. And lastly, if you want to make any commitments or sign up for anything, please do that on the front side. Let us give to God as North Song continues to lead us in worship.
Taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, why me?
I'm just a simple man of trade.
Why him with all the rulers in the world?
A strange way to save the world.
To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem. lowly shepherds at his birth.
But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, must have thought, why him?
I'm just a simple man of trade.
Why him, with all the rulers in the world?
Why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl.
Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say.
This is such a strange way to save the world for unto your list. A Savior, Christ the Lord.
Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world.
This is such a strange way.
Thank you, Lord, that Mary and Joseph lived out their calling, common people of trade, peasant woman, and yet they knew that they were to bear one who was to transform the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now we pray your special blessing upon our new members, our discovery classes. They make commitments to live out their callings with us in this world as well. Bless them in your name, we pray, and all God's people say. We'll invite our new members forward while the congregation is seated. I think we just had Ryan sing a little bit for us as well, right? Didn't she? Looks so great in her red. Why don't you guys stand up there, would you? They want to see you. They see me all the time. And then nice. Just make a little more room over here so the Vaglios can get in. This is a great group of people. I'm going to give them their certificates. Melissa Flutterbach.
Thank you.
Who also is the sister of Jessica Marsigliano. Ryan, do you want that? We'll give it to Joe. Right, and here you go, Joe. Cindy Vaglio and Mother Joan and Bill and Joanna Wright. We're so glad to have you with us. And we're just going to ask you to share your commitments before God and the world as together we try to live out what God wants us to be and do in the transformation of the world. So I'm going to ask you, do you renounce sin and the power of evil in the world? If so, answer, I renounce them.
I renounce them.
I'm going to ask you to turn to the cross. And this answer should be self-evident. I won't give it to you. Who is your Lord and Savior? And turn back to us as a symbol of repentance. We turn to Jesus and we turn to the congregation and to the world. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. And would you, congregation, please rise? Do you promise to love and to support these brothers and sisters by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
The congregation may be seated. It takes us together to be the body of Christ in the world that serves the world. And so you, having heard that promise from the congregation, do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church, to walk in a spirit of Christian love with this congregation, and to seek those things that make for unity, purity, and peace? If so, answer, we do. God bless you. We're so glad to have you with us. Let's thank God for this great group of people, including Ryan. That's right. You may go back to your seats, but thank you, and God bless you. And join us and enjoy coffee hour with us afterwards. And greet with me at the door here, all right? Come up the last verse of the hymn or something, because they want to see you more than they want to see me. Very nice. Wish I had time to tell you all the ways that these people already serve the community. But this is a great class. We're blessed to have them. Much to give thanks for this season. Will you join me? And I've got much to give thanks for and to pray for here. So let's join together in a prayer of thanksgiving and of concern. Jesus, and with your overflowing blessings around you, around us, we thank you for Will Stotz's 13th birthday today. We're grateful for family and family all around the world to have their blessing and God with them wherever they go. We're grateful again for Will's 13th birthday. He's the bomb. Which, God, I trust you know what that means. We're grateful that Anna is home. Here's another one for Will Stotz. People are very thankful for Will. Thankful about 15 hours ago, the last convoy of U.S. troops crossed the border out of Iraq and are now safe. We're thankful that Anna and Kelly and Stacy are here and that Craig is home with us. We're thankful again for Will Stotz's birthday. For all the congregation here today to be healthy and well, we're thankful for love and family and friends. And Jesus, here are other thanksgivings, beyond maybe a thanksgiving for Will's birthday. Here are other thanksgivings that we give you now for the many blessings of this season. Jesus, we thank you for beautiful voices and music. Laurel thanks you, God, for your love and your love expressed to her through her family and church family.
For home.
For friends and family. For this church family, this church community.
Will's birthday.
I'm not going to say it again. Thanksgiving, did I hear 58 years of marriage? Isn't that wonderful? Yes, that's worth it. Yes, in a day and age when marriage is at an all-time low in terms of percentage of people married in our culture, we give you thanks for people who have seen the blessing of it for 58 years. And then, Jesus, we turn to our prayers. We're praying for a mother-in-law who claims to be religious but could use some Jesus in her life. for a family friend, Elsie, who is in the hospital undergoing tests, for grandsons struggling with mental health issues and drugs, for a friend, Helen, in the hospital with several health concerns, for a father who is sick and a mother going through difficult times. We continue to pray for Ted Ritter undergoing chemotherapy. For a friend's brother battling mental illness, may he get the help he needs. Well, God, and you've heard those prayers now and hear others that we express either out loud or quietly. Lord Jesus, we ask you for. A safe birth between now and the 22nd for a niece. Pray for health blessings on this one who had an episode the other night that she might take care of herself and see the doctor. We pray for all those that will be traveling this holiday season. May they have a safe season and may they keep your joy first and foremost in their lives. We pray for wisdom for the leaders of the world in response to Israel's needs. That Alex's eye heals. There you go. We pray for people addicted to alcohol and drugs that they may stay sober and clean during this holiday season. Prayers for Pam's daughter, Amy, who was diagnosed with Lyme's disease this week. And Jesus, we combine all of these prayers with a great prayer that you taught us and that the world prays with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and sing.
Just we have
person next to you. We're the body of Christ that shows him in life this week throughout our living. Know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
The one.